Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, your host. And today is a live prophecy reality edition. If you're listening at 9 a.m. on Wednesday morning, otherwise, it's a rebroadcast, so just keep listening anyway. Well, I want to thank everyone for showing up today. I really don't have any prophecy news to speak of, and I'm not the kind of person that twists everything and tries to fit it into Bible prophecy, everything that's happening in the news. So not really a whole lot going on the prophecy front that hasn't already been going on. The revelation continues to unfold. Everything gradually unfolds. I'm sure there are perhaps a few big shocks, but there shouldn't be any surprises when those things come because, you know, our Heavenly Father, through His Word, has told us about everything that would happen in advance. Now, on this broadcast, we are decidedly Protestant. We are decidedly historicist in our view of God's Word and prophecy. So that's the view you're going to get here. My latest book, which I just published, I believe it was last month, called When the Third Temple is Built. And I wrote this book because of the timeliness of it, for one thing. Because it seems that we're on the verge of having this temple to be built. Although they haven't settled the issue of the Temple Mount and the Dome of the Rock. But I believe behind the scenes, it's pretty much already settled. And I write all about that in my book, so you should get it. And I wrote this book for basically for rapture believers and historicist believers who have friends who are rapture believers. And so that's like everyone that has any belief in God's Word, in prophecy, regardless of what view they hold. It will pique the interest of those that hold to the futurist doctrine, and I titled it just for them, When the Third Temple is Built, the Rapture Play Will Begin, and hopefully that'll pique their interest and they'll have to see what I have to say. It's not a real lengthy book. It's only a little more than 100 pages in trade publication format there, so make sure you read that and make sure you get it to all your futurist, left-behind, rapture adherents who believe that they're going to be raptured. Because that's the, well, the bad news, I guess, if you're holding on to that belief. The bad news is this, is there is no seven-year tribulation, and there certainly is no seven-year tribulation rapture anywhere in God's Word. And I discovered this a little over 20 years ago when I started in broadcasting because I felt that God was moving me to start a totally Bible-based broadcast, which is what I did. And it come to the point where I'm looking at Revelation and I have to now use the Bible. You know, the key word is God's Word and a Bible-based broadcast. So I had to use God's Word to uphold the pre-tribulation rapture because I sincerely believed it at the time. Well, when I looked into it and I tried to back it up, I couldn't find it in there. And it isn't in there. There's a lot of conjecture, but there's nothing explicit or expressed anywhere in the Bible about a seven-year tribulation before Jesus comes, where people are going to be snatched away or raptured before that seven, or at the beginning of that seven-year non-existent, because that's what I found, it was non-existent. So I put down the pre-tribulation rapture first, and it wasn't until later that I discovered that there was no seven-year tribulation spoken of preceding the return of Christ either in the Bible. Not expressed, not in the text anywhere, not explicit or expressed in the text, and totally built on conjecture. That's like a house of cards, okay? You stack them up, they fall down easily because, you know, there's no mortar there. And even Ezekiel, writing, you know, at the unction of the Holy Spirit, wrote about the wall of false prophecy and using untempered mortar. A wall that does not hold together, a wall that is built upon conjecture, a wall that will not stand the test of time or the test of God's Word. There you go. So that's why I wrote the book. So get this book. Go to my website. It's free. The EPUB version is free. If you'd like to get a pocketbook version, we have a pocketbook version, which is costs less money per copy for you. And if you want to give them away, email me, and I'll make sure that you get them at the printer's cost. That's rock bottom. Say if you want to give away 30 or 50 or 20 or whatever you want to do. This book needs to get out there to all of your friends that adhere to the rapture. And read it for yourself. See what you think. Will it crack? You know, will it help to topple the wall of false prophecy that is built in their mind with untempered mortar? And well, that's what it's all about. That's why I wrote the book, so that we could use it. And let's see, what else are we going to talk about today? Well, there's no news in the Mideast about the Temple Mount or continuing building, but there are a lot of people working behind the scenes on that. And I cover that in my book, too. We talk about the His Holy Mountain Initiative and the plans that they have for the Temple Mount, how that they want to build this temple, but you know, they realize that they may not have to have animal sacrifice, but they're going to want to go ahead and build a temple for the purpose of having an animal sacrifice. But somewhere along the line, they're going to drop that animal sacrifice, the sacrifice and oblation in the midst of the week. But, you know, that's part of the play, part of the script, the counter-reformation script that has been drawn up for the left-behind seven-year tribulation deception that's going on. Now, we all know that Jesus put an end to the sacrifice and oblation in the midst of the week. Yes, coincidentally, in case you don't understand that yet, coincidentally, 3.5 years after Jesus showed up on the scene at the Jordan River baptism scene there, when he was baptized by John the Baptist, 3.5 years later, guess what happened? Yeah. He put an end to the sacrifice and oblation by the sacrifice of himself. He did it. He went to the cross willingly and sacrificed himself. He gave himself, and by his sacrifice was put an end to the sacrifice and oblation, meaning that now the commanded sacrifice was at an end. It was no longer commanded. The prophet, the Lord whom you seek, going back to Malachi chapter 3, came suddenly to his temple. That's right. The Lord whom you seek, even the messenger of the covenant. That's what Jesus was. He was the great prophet that they were awaiting. He was the messenger of the covenant of Daniel chapter 9. He is the Messiah. And let's see, open mind in the chat room. I don't know, if you're going to have an open mind, you better guard the entrance. That's all I can say. Can't just let anything in there. Will there be a new Moses figure regathering the remnant of Israel, or will God himself do the regathering? Jeremiah, etc. Sorry, you know, there's a regathering of the Jewish people in Israel right now. there are messianic or believers of the Messiah over in Israel right now, but all of the promises that God made to Israel were fulfilled in Christ and are fulfilled in Christ and will be fulfilled in Christ. Everything. The 70 weeks determined for Daniel, his people, and his city has been completely fulfilled. Israel, as it stands today, is on an equal footing with all of the other unregenerate nations of the earth. Yeah, that's it. They are not God's chosen people. The true Israel. Okay, let's take it back. Let's go back to the time of Jesus. The Messiah, the Lord, came suddenly to his temple. He was the messenger of the covenant. And in the midst of the week, he put an end to the sacrifice and oblation by the sacrifice of himself. And he instructed those faithful in Israel that would follow him. He instructed them to flee the land. Now, those that listened to the Messiah, they took the gospel, and they were Jews, okay? They were national Israelites, okay? They were of the nation of Israel. They were the obedient. They were the chosen ones. The ones that followed the Messiah proved themselves to be God's chosen people, the remnant, the true Israel in the spirit, that had not only the circumcision of the flesh, but that circumcision of the heart, that more important circumcision. God's chosen people obeyed the Messiah. Those that did not obey the Messiah, they were not God's chosen people. God plainly, through the prophet Daniel, expressed that the time for Israel was over. Well, I mean, look at the history. God raised up the nation in the wilderness, and they rebelled and said, "Give us a king. We don't want your government. We don't want you to be our king." And they rebelled, so God gave them Saul. And it was all downhill from there. Had a few little revivals here and there, but finally the nation so apostatized that God wielded Babylon as his sword in judgment against them. It took the nation captive, destroyed the city and the temple. The Babylonian desolation happened. 70 years they spent in exile. 70 years desolation period until the temple was rebuilt again, as promised. All of the prophecies of the rebuilding of the temple are fulfilled completely already, and were fulfilled completely with the building of the temple after the 70 years desolation. After the 70 years desolation, there is not one more prophecy of a rebuilding of the temple. As a matter of fact, we really don't get another prophecy about the temple until Jesus rises up, until the Messiah shows up on the scene, and the temple is present, the second temple, refurbished by Herod. Now it's called Herod's temple, but it's still the second temple. And Jesus is on the scene, and he prophesies of the temple. He prophesies its destruction. He agrees with Daniel about the desolation that is coming after the 70 weeks are up, the time determined for Israel. Jesus prophesies the destruction of the temple. And that's the last prophecy of the temple that's given in Scripture. Now, will there be an attempt to build another temple? It seems that there will be. But without the animal sacrifice, will it really be a temple? That's the question. And those are some of the discussion that I have in my book. Some of the questions that I ask about the proposed third Jewish temple that is not foretold in God's Word. Some people say, well, there is a third temple, but there is no third temple prophesied before the return of Christ. Every prophecy of the rebuilding of the temple was fulfilled already after every prophecy of the rebuilding of the temple was given. Then the second temple was built. That's called a fulfillment. There is no prophecy of a third temple being built before the return of Christ. And it's, you know, we're not going to talk about the millennial. Will there be a temple? What will happen? It doesn't matter to me what happens, whether there will be a third temple after the millennium. What kind of buildings will we have in Jerusalem when Jesus returns and reigns? That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about before the return of Christ. And I believe that the Jewish people, that Israel, they will build what they will call a temple, but basically it will be nothing more than a national synagogue called their temple. But it will not be a temple after the likes of the previous two temples where animal sacrifice will be taking place. Remember, Jesus put an end to the sacrifice and oblation by the sacrifice of himself. And if you don't understand that, I've got several books, and all my books can be got for free at my website, crosstheborder.org. Go to the free ebook page there and select any book you want, and that you'll see over of the four books in the right-hand column there. I have all of those in PDF and EPUB versions there for you, and all you have to do is subscribe to my blog and to get your first book free. And of course, share that page with someone else so they have the same opportunity that you have. That's a little favor you can do for me. And then after you read one, I ask you, read the rapture will be canceled first. Leave a review on Amazon, and then I will give you any other book you want. Now, my newest book isn't on Amazon yet. It will be there in a few weeks. It takes time for these things to happen. It's available from, I publish it through Lulu Press, which is an indie publishing house, but it will be on Amazon in a few weeks, so I will be asking people to review it there as soon as it gets there. But you can read it now, and you want to get that for your friends, especially if they believe in the rapture. Because when they start to build this temple, the expectations are very high because this is their kickoff point. They've been advertising it for 30 years, that the temple kickoff thing that will happen because some Antichrist character, the end time Antichrist of Ribera, has developed, yes, that counter-reformation eschatology developed by the Jesuit Ribera in the 16th century, I believe, or about that time, has really developed, really took off about 150, about 1830 when they developed the pre-tribulation rapture for the first time, and just have been building on that wall of false prophecy ever since. Let's see. Yes. I've discovered, let's see, George lied. George Washington lied. Yes, well, if you want to know about the founding of America, I wouldn't blame it so much on George Washington, but there's another book. Go to my website, crosstheborder.org. There's a Bible studies page there, and you'll see a book in Prophecy Classics, and I've added it to Prophecy Classics, because it's a book and it's called Rulers of Evil by F. Tupper Saucy. And F. Tupper Saucy exposes the secret hidden hand. Yes, the secret hidden hand of the Vatican, the Jesuit hand in the founding of America under the Constitution of the United States there. And then you may understand the two horns. See, because the second beast has two horns like a lamb. Okay? And a lamb has two horns, but like a lamb, and spake as a dragon. So you have these two opposing you know, horns of power on this one beast that appear at the same time. And if you read F. Tupper Saucy's Rulers of Evil, it becomes evident that this dragon speak or dragon power is that Antichrist or that sea beast influence in the establishment of the government of the United States of America in Washington, D.C., one of the cities of the empire. It becomes pretty clear. So make sure you go to my Bible studies page, look at those prophecy classics, and read F. Tupper Saucy's Rulers of Evil. I mean, it's the only work like it. You're not going to get it anywhere. The man did his homework, he did his investigation, and it is undeniable that the conclusion that he comes to as far as the establishment of the United States government in Washington, D.C., under the Constitution. And I cover that a little bit in my book. I have a chapter in here, and we've covered that before. And that chapter is chapter 8, I believe. Oh, no, wait a minute. It's chapter 7. Is that it? Yeah, chapter 7 in the book, Contemporary Times in the Revelation, and that is in this book. And we talk about America and prophecy in my other book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. Too. So really, both of these books go together. They're kind of companion books because I build upon and I try to, you know, I'm a little, this is more developed to convince people who actually believe in the rapture. Hopefully they'll pick it up at the title and it'll pique their interest and they'll go, well, what the heck, it's only 100 pages. I can read it and find out what this guy thinks. Or you could say, hey, if you believe in the rapture, you should read this guy. Maybe you can dispute him. Maybe you can counter his arguments. You know, that's how perhaps you may need to approach your rapture believing friends who believe that they're going to be raptured out pre-tribulation. It's the most popular position. Okay, we're going to go into a little break here. You listen across the border. This is our Prophecy Reality Edition. Contact someone during the break. Tell them to pile in the chat room over here. And we take phone calls, comments, questions in the chat room, anything. Okay, we'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
The book of Revelation says, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now. Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is our Prophecy Reality Edition. And I'd like you to go to my website, crosstheborder.org. It's a WordPress blog, and you can follow me there, you know, by subscribing and clicking on that button to follow in the left-hand column there, in the upper left-hand column. And on some browsers, a follow button will pop up along the bottom right-hand corner. So make sure you do that. And then share my blog with everyone you can. Post the postings, some of the posts on your media, like Facebook or whatever other social media you have, or let people know that I'm here. And of course, take advantage of the free ebook offers there we have. So you can get any of those books you see in that right-hand column. There's 4 books there. And I suggest, first of all, you get The Rapture Will Be Canceled and When the Third Temple is Built, both of these books on the rapture, and they are really complementary to one another. There's not a whole lot of repetition there, so make sure that you take advantage of that. And be sure to join me, if you can, live every Wednesday morning as we stream live on YouTube, and join us in the chat room here. And maybe we can grow this audience and get the word out, especially as the days get closer to the actual rebuilding or a building of a third temple over there on the Temple Mount, or however that takes place, we'll see. I believe that they're going to leave the other edifice, the Islamic edifice is standing, and they're going to have the God's Holy Mountain Vision. And I think it's godsholymountainvision.org or something like that, but if you put God's Holy Mountain Vision in your website, you'll see what they have planned over there for the Temple Mount. We've covered that many times here on this broadcast, and I cover that actually in both of my books. An update, of course, in my latest book of what's going on over there to what I wrote about in 2014 on that, on those topics there, and when I wrote The Rapture Will Be Canceled. Now, we had a few questions in the chat room, which I'm going to take a look at here. And let's see, WW says, I thought that USA was one horn, which was first spake as a lamb, then switched to speaking like a dragon. Now, when I wrote my book in 2014, I said that the horns may be contiguous or you forgot the word for that, or both may be ruling at the same time. And I've revised my position on that. I don't think it's an either or, but I think it's that they're only contemporaneous. That's right. They appear at the same time. And I get this from looking deeper into the prophecy and using God's word to interpret. Now, when the second beast of Revelation chapter 13 rises up, it has two horns. So it doesn't have one appearing after the other. And so we look at the other horns on the other beasts that have horns to get our example and a greater understanding of how these horns work and exactly what they represent. Now, the first beast that had horns was a Greek beast that rose up in, of course, Daniel, and Daniel's prophecy of the four beasts, and the second empire rising was the third, Medo-Persian, then Greece. The third beast that rose up out of the sea had one notable horn.
And that was, of course, Alexander the Great. And when that one notable horn was broken off, so there's no succession there if it's broken off, and four horns came up in its place. And, of course, the kingdom was divided between Alexander's four top generals, and that's what the four horns represented that took the place of the one horn that was broken off, Alexander the Great, when he died. And they all ruled at the same time, contemporaneously. Okay, so they were not successive. And then we go, of course, to the ten-horned beast of Revelation. And when the beast rises up, it has ten horns. Okay, when it rises up, and it has ten horns, and the horns... Okay, well, I don't know if I'm messing that up, but let's just go to the horns. And as you can see, I don't really have it all figured out yet, but probably a lot more than most people on the planet. But we have the ten horns, and they represent the kingdom rising up when the papacy, when the imperial Rome fell, okay? When the Caesars fell and the ten horns rise up, the beast with ten horns rises up, and the crowns are on the horns, basically. And we have the Holy Roman Empire ruling through the secular powers of the area that the sea beast rises up in. And they all rule at the same time. And, of course, then there's another little horn that rises up, and three horns are plucked up. And anyway, so they aren't consecutive. They aren't successive. They aren't one after another, but they're all contemporaneous when you see the horn. So likewise, when the second beast of Revelation chapter 13 rises up and it has two horns like a lamb and spake as a dragon, you see two opposite powers there when this beast rises up. And I think what solidified and cemented that for me was reading F. Tupper Saucy's Rulers of Evil and realizing that America, really, as we know it today and under the government we have it today, rose up at the time of the Constitutional Convention when its seat of power was situated in the 10 square mile district of Columbia, Washington, D.C., and now we know it as one of the cities of the empire, along with the Vatican, of course, and with London, which is another sovereign city. And I also have, if you go to my website, there at crosstheborder.org, and let me put that on the screen for you, desktop there, transition, there it is. And in the left-hand column, I have the top trending articles on my website. And you'll always see the Empire of the City there. It's always top trending. Right now, Flat Earth is still trending. And I don't, so you have to, Flat Earth or Spherical Earth, what does the Bible say? So if you want to know what the Bible really says, and not what the atheist and the truther, flat earther say the Bible says, because they're using the Bible same way the atheists use it. And of course, they're using it to affirm their flat earth position, all those flat earth truthers out there. I guess that's what I'll call them, flat earth truthers. And the atheists use it, of course, to affirm their position by making the Bible say things, using conjecture, and making the Bible say things that it really doesn't say, to ridicule it, to give it a bad name, and so that people won't believe in it. Because, of course, they're atheists, and they think that the Bible is just a book that some men wrote, and that no one should really follow it. So we know where they stand, and that's what the article is about. And you'll find out how God reveals what the earth actually is, and its place in the universe, explicitly from the Bible. And also we debunk some of the other flat earth arguments there, but No problem for people who really believe in the flat earth, I guess. Yeah, if they don't care what the Bible says anyway, it doesn't make any difference. They're going to believe that the earth is flat anyway, just simply because they want to. And for some people, it's a matter of, you know, they just want to be able to expose something as false, whether it's true or not, or they just like being, you know, iconoclastic, you know, against the grain and against them. And so they're looking for conspiracies where there are none. And I do hold to the position that, yes, the earth doesn't spin. And I believe the Bible upholds that, and plus science upholds it. So, because there's no evidence that the earth actually spins. No one's been able to prove this yet. So, and if you look into it and you really, because I figured that out 20 years ago, that the earth doesn't spin. So, and then the flat earth just started cropping up here a few years ago. So, make sure you share these articles. I'm sure you'll find something to share. Like I said, those are the top two trending. And there's a bunch of other good stuff there. What year is it is usually trending, which I don't see it there today, though. Yeah, it's not there today, but a lot of good articles there for you. So make sure you take advantage of that and share those articles on your social media. Now, in the next hour, I want to jump into and do another installment on use of the revelation. We have practical uses for the book of Revelation, and we covered lecture one of that last week in one segment of the broadcast, so I'm going to spend probably the next segment, we'll do that, the next lecture on practical use of the book of Revelation, because there is a practical use for it, but for most people it's just a book of incoherent, undecipherable prophecies, and so they are easily led astray by the futurists who want to say that it overleaps the entire last 2,000 years. Even come up with another alternative, so it doesn't do that. They say that the letters to the seven churches are really signifying the seven ages of the church, and then everything after the letters to the seven churches is about the Great Tribulation. Excuse me. The Great Tribulation 7-year prophecy that where they're going to be all raptured out before all those bad things happen. So who cares anyway? What do I care what's going to happen if I have no chance of being here? And so all of the calamity and another motivation for accepting the 7-year tribulation pre-rapture position is that all of the calamity foretold in the entire book of Revelation is going to be squished into this little 3.5 or 7-year period of time, and God certainly wouldn't want us to go through that. And I have to admit, you know, God certainly would not want us to go through such a time as that. But all of the calamity, all of the tribulation, all of the judgments, all of the earthquakes, everything that all of the calamity, all of those things that were prophesied throughout the book of Revelation have been unfolding, actually, over the last 2,000 years. And most of them are past. And there are very few things. And actually, people did have to live through those things. And you can read all about it. Get this book here. Go back to my website there. And right here, these two books here, of course, these are about the rapture. These two books should disabuse you of holding to the pre-tribulation tribulation deception. You should be abused of that by the time you read these two books, hopefully. And then to get grounded in true prophecy and what the Revelation Apocalypse really means, you get these two books here. Okay? And like I said, you can get all these free EPUB by going to the free ebook tab there. If you have any questions about that, leave a comment there or email me. But leave a comment there because other people may have the same questions. That's why I like the blog so much, is that other people can read the comments there. And I suggest you do that too. Read a lot of the comments and you'll find a lot of the answers, and that, hey, we're all in this together and we all have the same questions and comments that need to be answered for us. So you want to get the last prophecy. This is the abridgment of E.B. Eliot's Hoary Apocalypticae, the most exhaustive work ever done on the Revelation, completed about 1860. That's right. So to cover all of the, which is most of history, you know, still even 1860, that's most of history. And then the key to the apocalypse shows you how to understand, gives you a key to the apocalypse. So it really clarifies the book of Revelation using what he exposes as a key there. And my books here will catch you up to the year since, because there's really not a whole lot of catch up to do when you have most of history in the Revelation already spelled out for you and revealed to you through history in the last prophecy. And where is this? And if you click on anything here, it goes to the Get the Books page. And if you and you got a little thing about the books there, but if you scroll down to the bottom, there's a it says Save with Pocketbook Editions here. So if you click on that, it'll take you to Lulu Press, and you'll see the four pocketbook editions there at a very low cost for you, to make them available for you there at a very low cost. And like I said, if you want to get pocketbook editions in bulk, email me and I will get them for you at cost. And I would like to give these pocketbook editions away free, but I just don't have enough money. If you want to give to that, and you want to say, hey, I'll put in whatever, $50 so you can give away free copies or whatever. But I think it would be better if you buy bulk and at actual printing cost, they're delivered right to you, and you can distribute them to your church group, your prophecy group, to your friends and family and those adherents. They will read. I suggest you get this book for them when the third temple is built. They will read it. They absolutely will read that book, and it'll get them scratching their head and wondering, okay? But when you give a book away like that, ask them to read it and then give it back to you when they're done so you can continue to distribute it, and especially if they don't like it. That way you can get it. Yeah. You know, if they're not going to change your mind, but you know at least they're going to have the opportunity to change their mind. Read the book for yourself and let me know if you agree with me or you disagree with me on that. I would like to hear from people on that idea. Let me check out the chat room here quickly. Let's see. Billy in the chat room, thanks for showing up. What are we talking about here? Oh, yeah, yes, you can see the curvature of the earth. It's absolutely, yeah. And I got a picture of the Chicago shoreline from Michigan, which I explain in my posting there, on flat earth or spherical earth. What does the Bible say? So you can see that there. Because, let's see, I'm not putting it on. I know what I saw. Not ridiculous, just different from what you were taught. Because that would mean the entire universe is just an optical illusion. There really is no mass there. Okay, well, I don't know about that. George Light, if the Earth is rotating, how could GPS work? Well, the Earth is obviously not rotating. Thank you for that, Smoke. I talked about that a little bit. I point you to the Michelson-Morley and other experiments. These are actual scientists claiming that they failed because they could not detect the rotation of the Earth. Well, duh, maybe you didn't fail. Maybe there is no rotation. And then we have the theory of relativity. Yeah. It rotates or it doesn't rotate. It's all relative, right? Yes, welcome to the room, James. And see, someone from Chicago. Anybody put a question there? Repeat your question so it jumps down to the bottom. Or you can give me a call. There's a phone number up there in the upper right-hand column. We got about 6 minutes in this session. Then we're going to jump into our next installment of practical use of the revelation. But I guess I'm just going to look at the chat room here for a while. So anyway, you know, that post is in there. And let me see if I can put that link in the chat room so people can go there and let's see. How about copy link location? Oops. I'll get it here somewhere. Okay, works on this one. Copy link location. There we go. We'll just put that in the chat room. And not working. Oh, there it is. What does the Bible say? There you go. That's the link to that article. So that settles it. My article really does settle it, as far as I'm concerned. Otherwise, I would still be writing on the article. And I've updated it, you know, probably 100 times, you know, tweaking the article there. So so make sure you check that out. It should put it to bed if you're on the fence at all. But there are some people, they just won't let go of that flat earth no matter what. Especially those guys that are making lots of money on it, getting a lot of notoriety. And I notice, if only I had a flat earth channel on YouTube, just think how popular I could be. Because there's a lot of gullible people out there. Yeah, that's what it takes to be popular, is you have to cater to the many that are on the broad way that leads to destruction. And you can become famous. Yes, yes indeed. Absolutely. See, but centripetal, I think that's centripetal force overcomes the gravity. Horse feathers. Horses don't have feathers. Oh, I guess that's kind of like another word for bull hockey, right? Horse feathers. Geostationary with the Earth spinning at 1,024 miles an hour at the equator. Woohoo! We're on a merry-go-round. Always liked the merry-go-round on the playground, but I don't think that's what's happening here at all. There's no evidence, because if the Earth was actually spinning, we'd have a lot of problems, boy. We'd all eventually be at the equator flying off the Earth with all the water and everything. It's kind of crazy when you think about it. Yeah. And as far as man ever going to the moon, I'm still very skeptical about man. There actually being men have landing on the moon. Yeah, George says the Michelson-Morley experiment doesn't prove rotation. Of course it doesn't. That's why they deemed it a failure. They said, oh, we failed it. Or, no, you don't do an experiment. You do an experiment to find out, you know, whether something's true or not. And if your experiment shows that it isn't true, well, then it's not a failure. You know, so it's only a failure if you've already predetermined what your outcome should be. You know, I don't know. It's because, like, if I hold up, you know, these glasses here, and I say, well, I'm going to test gravity. If these glasses don't drop, and then I know that the experiment has failed, but, well, they dropped. So I know that my experiment wasn't a failure, right? It's that simple, you know. So maybe they need to develop a different experiment to prove. Yeah, well, you don't do it to prove. You do it to prove or disprove. And then you run with your results. And they should have went, wow, maybe the Earth isn't spinning. Okay. As Kent Hovind believes in does he believe in the rapture? I don't know if he does or not. But he does believe the Earth is spinning, so. No, I don't believe that. George lied. Yes. Anyway, we're out of time in this segment. So when we come back, we'll change the subject. Read my article there. And
visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. That's crosstheborder.org.
I know you all want answers, and believe me, so do I, and I'll do my best to get them.
Despite Nicolas Cage's promise to do his best to get Left Behind Rapture answers for us, don't hold your breath. Not everyone believes Left Behind is true prophecy. Some may even regard as conspiratorial the mainstream re-release of the Left Behind movie, with actor Nicolas Cage portraying the main character, as an attempt to further reinforce in the minds of all this perception of false prophecy, in order to condition the masses for the play about to begin. If you want true Bible prophecy answers, get the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. The author exposes the Latin rapture origin, the seven-year tribulation deception, true Bible revelation of Daniel's 70 weeks, the abomination of desolation, the restrainer, America in the revelation, the image of the beast, and the mark of the beast, and the truth about God's chosen people, and so much more about Bible prophecy. This book will shatter the left-behind paradigm of future events. Get the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. That's crosstheborder.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. It's our Prophecy Reality Edition. My name is Nicholas, and we're going to jump into our second installment in practical use of the Revelation, or the Apocalypse. The second great practical use of the Apocalypse lay in the aid which it rendered to the preservation of true Christianity. From the extinction by which it was threatened in the Middle Ages, the Gothic overthrow of the Roman Empire was succeeded by the gradual rise in the 6th and following centuries of Papal Rome. The wars and jurisprudence of Justinian in the 6th century laid the foundation of a new imperial power. The elevation of the Bishop of Rome by Justinian and Phocas to universal oversight in all the Christian Church, exalting the Pope to the position of the spiritual head of the restored empire. While the work of Charlemagne completed the movement by the creation of the Holy Roman Empire of medieval and modern history, the empire thus restored became the support of apostate papal Christianity and the oppressor and persecutor of the true saints of God, whom it drove into obscurity and reduced in the course of centuries to almost complete extermination. Foreseen and foretold in apocalyptic prophecy, the persecuting papal power and idolatrous Romish Church became objects of dread and abhorrence to the faithful saints of the Middle Ages, who in their separate communities and mountain solitude kept the commandments of God and continued the testimony of Jesus Christ. The records of the Albigenses, the Waldenses, of Wycliffe and the Lollards, of Hus, Jerome, and Prague, of their followers, amply attest the preserving influence of the apocalyptic teachings during this perilous period. By means of this prophecy, the lamp of divine truth was kept burning, which later on was to illuminate the world. The historian Gibbon justly connects the Paulicians, the Albigenses, Waldenses, and other pre-Reformation separatists from the apostate church in the East and West with the reformers of the 16th century. The faith of the Reformation and pre-Reformation reformers was one. Their testimony was one. Their attitude to the Bible was the same. And their martyrs suffered in a common cause. The Reformation movement did not commence with Luther, nor was it the first to translate the Bible into the vernacular. The exalted head of the church had maintained an unbroken line of faithful witnesses to his truth during all the ages, during all of the Christian centuries, and had fulfilled his promise that against the church, which he had founded upon a rock, the gates of hell should never prevail. 3. The third great practical use of the apocalypse lay in its justification and support of the Reformation. By its delineation of the Church of Rome and its command to the people of God to separate from that apostate church, to republish the scriptures, and to rebuild the spiritual temple, as the Jewish reformers Ezra and Nehemiah had restored the temple at Jerusalem after the Babylonian captivity, ample materials exist for the verification of these statements in the voluminous works of the reformers of the 16th century. The Reformation was built by them on doctrinal, practical, and prophetic grounds. There is no possibility of separating these elements in its foundations. To the reformers, the Pope of Rome was the man of sin, the Antichrist, and the Church of Rome, the Babylon of the Apocalypse, a doctrine not only embodied in their confessions of faith of the Reformed churches, but sealed by the blood of their countless martyrs. Who can estimate the value and importance of the aid thus rendered to the Reformation by the delineations and warnings of prophecy? Let the learned Bishop Wordsworth have a hearing on this subject, for no other has written upon it with clearer understanding and in nobler and more eloquent language. The Holy Spirit, foreseeing no doubt that the Church of Rome would adulterate the truth by many gross and grievous abominations, that she would anathematize all who would not communicate with her and denounce them as cut off from the body of Christ and the hope of everlasting salvation, foreseeing also that Rome would exercise a wide and dominant sway for many generations by boldly iterated assertions of unity, antiquity, sanctity, and universality, foreseeing also that these pretensions would be supported by the civil sword of many secular governments, among which the Roman Empire would be divided at its dissolution, and that Rome would thus be enabled to display herself to the world in an august attitude of imperial power, and with the dazzling splendor of temporal felicity, seeing also that the Church of Rome would captivate the imaginations of men by the fascinations of art allied with religion. she would ravish their senses and rivet their admiration by gaudy colors and stately pomp and prodigal magnificence. And here I just have to note and say that foreseeing that the Church of Rome would captivate the imaginations of men by the fascinations of art allied with religion. And that's exactly what has been done. With the whole left behind scenario, you have movies, you have fictional books, and what is that but art allied with religion to captivate the imaginations and fascination of men. Moving on, and would ravish their senses and rivet their admiration by gaudy colors and stately pomp and prodigal magnificence, foreseeing also that she would beguile their credulity by miracles and mysteries, apparitions and dreams, trances and ecstasies, and would appeal to such evidences in support of her strange doctrines, foreseeing likewise that she would enslave men and much more women by practicing on their affections and by accommodating herself with dangerous pliancy to their weaknesses, relieving them from the burden of thought and from the perplexity of doubt by proffering them the aid of infallibility, soothing the sorrows of the mourner by dispensing pardon and promising peace to the departed, removing the load of guilt from the oppressed conscience by the ministries of the confessional and by nicely poised compensations for sin, and that she would flourish for many centuries in proud and prosperous impunity before her sins would reach to heaven and come in remembrance before God. Foreseeing also that many generations of men would thus be tempted to fall from the faith and become victims of her deadly error, and that they who clung to the truth would be exposed to cozening flatteries and fierce assaults and savage tortures from her, the Holy Spirit, we say, foreseeing all these things in his divine knowledge and being the everlasting teacher, guide, and comforter of the Church, was graciously pleased to provide a heavenly antidote for all these dangerous, widespread, and long-enduring evils by dictating the Apocalypse, that is, the Book of Revelation. And how the futurists argue against it, how they say that that whole history is not even in the Bible, that the only thing about the ages, except for the last 7 years, is written in the seven letters to the churches, when it is nowhere expressed in the text that those are seven ages. Actually, the opposite is expressed in the Revelation, that the seven letters to the churches are the things which are. Remember? John was to write the things which are and the things which will be hereafter. Well, the letters to the seven churches were the things which are. And then the things which must shortly come to pass is everything after those letters to the churches. All of those visions were shortly to come to pass as to their commencement. And they commenced and they unfolded for 2,000 years. God did not forget. God did not leave it out of his prophecy of the ages, the book of Revelation. In this divine book, the Spirit of God has portrayed the Church of Rome such as none but he could have foreseen that she would become, and such as, wonderful and lamentable to say, she has become. He has thus broken her magic spells. He has taken the wand of enchantment from her hand. He has lifted the mask from her face. With his divine hand, He has written her true character in large letters and has planted her title on her forehead to be seen and read of all. Mystery Babylon, the Great, the Mother of Harlots, and the Abominations of the Earth. Number 4. The practical use of the apocalypse in the present day as casting light upon the whole course of human history, revealing the plan of providence and confirming faith amid the assaults of modern skepticism. And there's a lot of skepticism out there. And yes, the entire futurist movement that has risen up in the last 150 years or since, especially since 1830, are skeptical about the revelation unfolding in history. And, you know, this is confirmed by Daniel and the revelation itself. By everywhere, every place in the scripture, in prophetic scripture, where God gives an interpretation in the text. He gives the prophecy, and then he gives an interpretation. And the interpretation, when God gives an interpretation of prophecy in the text of that prophecy, it's always unfolding history. So this is a God-given interpretation, a God-given method of interpretation. Doesn't mean it's always right. Anytime we speculate beyond what has already been revealed in history, well, we may be wrong. And even the best historicists out there tried, and this is what you're supposed to do. They took prophecy, some of the revelation, and they tried to apply something in history to it. And sometimes they were wrong, but most of the time they were right. But see, if you live until where we are now in 2017, and we say, hey, you know what? That doesn't quite fit in the history where they placed it, but it certainly fits in the intervening history that they didn't see. So we have to expect, when we're diving into the great historicists' interpretations of prophecy of the past, we have to expect to see some of that going on, because you're trying to, you know, fit it into history, because that's the true place of prophecy. It shows us, it gives us a little insight into the future, but it gives us a great insight into what has already been accomplished in history. And where it is clearer, it is clear. Where it is not so clear, I find that those historicists that tried to make it fit, and it doesn't quite, so they don't really build too much upon it. They don't really ground it to make it undeniable. And then we come along later, so it's like the head wound of Chapter 13 of the Revelation, the healing of that wound. Many tried to fit it to prophetic instances in the past. But we know that the papacy was the final blow. It seems to have been a gradual thing that happened. Their reign was 1260 years of the papal supremacy in the earth. But the onset of it was gradual. And the fall of it was gradual. So you see this 1260 year fitting into this window is undeniable now. And the wound was not history when E.B. Eliot wrote. It was not history. I mean, the wound being healed was not history when E.B. Eliot wrote and when H. Grant Tangiddes wrote. That healing of that wound hadn't happened yet. But now it's undeniable that it happened in 1929. That's right. And we see the rise of the Vatican. And we see the change in its operation and how it works behind the scenes. But it is fully the Babylon of Scripture that will be destroyed by that 10-horn power of the beast, even though it's controlling the beast right now. And we see that the 10 horns are going to turn on her again and destroy her at the end, and then the world will cry, Babylon has fallen, that great city that reigned over the kings of the earth again, finally, and once and forever. And then, of course, we have the return of Christ. Christ will return, and finally and forever, as even foretold, not only in the Revelation, but foretold in Daniel chapter 2, by the destruction of the mystery Babylon image with the head of gold, which represented the Babylonian Empire and Nebuchadnezzar, down to the feet and 10 toes of iron and clay, the final form of the Roman Empire, the broken Roman Empire, being ruled over even today by the Vatican behind the scenes. Yes, she rules the world through her minions. She is, we have that two-horn power. Yeah, read Rulers of Evil if you don't believe me. And I know James it seems like he's testing another idea. I saw in the chat room there, and love James. He's always trying out these ideas. He tries them on. And he says that the beast with two horns is a division of the Roman Empire. Well, no, that division of the Roman Empire is the same beast. You know, that was foretold by the two legs of the Daniel's image. That was foretold in history, the Eastern and the Western. That happened a long time ago. And it's not another beast. It's the same beast. So it's the seventh beast, because the Revelation only indicates one more beast after Rome. And that is the second beast. And all of the beasts, you know, read it for yourself. All of the beasts, when they rise up, they are original powers in the earth, meaning that they weren't a part of another beast. Okay? They were all original powers in the earth when they rose up. Now, some of them conquered, as in the four beasts of Daniel. One conquered the one before it, and then one rose up after it as an original power and conquered those. So we really need to study into the beasts to understand what a beast is. When a beast rises up, wherever it rises up, as the only rose up, we have the four that rose up in the sea, and we have the one that rises up in the earth, okay? And when they rise up, they're all original powers. They were not part of another beast when they rose up, but they rise up as original powers. And yes, they conquer the beast before them. We see that in the four successive beasts from Daniel 7 and 8, where these four beasts rise up out of the sea, and each one successively conquers the ones before it, but they were not part of the one before it. They rose up as original powers in the earth. So that's kind of a rule that we have to go by. When a beast rises up, it rises up as an original power in the earth and not part of another beast. Horns is a different thing. They're a division of power, but they all seem to be concurrent. And that's why the one notable horn was removed when the four rose up in its place. And the same thing with the 10 horns of the dragon beast of Revelation. Okay, we'll be back in a few minutes, and we'll carry on the conversation and hopefully your calls. Please call me. We'll be back. The book of Revelation says, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border, our Prophecy Reality Edition. I'd like you to go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and make sure you subscribe there. Take advantage of the free ebooks there, and you can also purchase those same books by going to the Get the Book tab. And if you'd like to get a lower price cost, scroll down to the bottom. They're now available in pocket book size at a much lower price for each book. And if you want to give away when the temple is built, the rapture play will begin to all of your rapture believing 7-year tribulation deceived people out there. This is the book for them. And you want to give this to them. So if you want to get bulk pocket editions, say you want 20 or 30 of them, or if you want bulk trade publication, they're 50 cents more a copy or something for trade publication. But if you want to get bulk anything, I'll get them to you at the printer's cost directly from the printer. All you have to do is email me or go to the contact page there. You'll find my email address there, and we can start our dialogue. I can get you the lowdown. There are free shipping deals all the time, and if you want that, all we got to do is like within a week, they usually have a free shipping offer for authors so who want to buy in bulk. So what we do is set you up, and we wait for one of those deals or 15% off or whatever to get you the rock bottom cost. So I won't make a dime on that if you want to distribute in bulk. Okay. Let's see, talking about beasts before we left, and no callers. That number is still in the chat room there, so I guess I'll just carry on, and we'll talk about beasts And I don't know what more I can say, except all the beasts as they rise up, and you know, I don't have any theories. I'm just looking at what the scripture says. And I noticed that all of the beasts, when they are introduced in the scripture, every beast is an original power in the earth. Okay? So I deduce when this new beast is introduced in Revelation 13, I deduce that it is a new original power in the earth. It did not rise up out of another beast, because none of the beasts before that rose up out of other beasts. They're all introduced as original powers in the earth. So it has to be something new that we didn't see before in the previous beasts. Okay? That's what I deduce from reading the scripture. And I don't want to go beyond the revelation that God has given me. Now the horns, okay? The horns seem to be always contemporaneous, okay? And we have that example, like I said, the Grecian beast, the third beast of Daniel that rose up out of the sea, had one notable horn, yeah, and that horn was broken off. So there's no succession. It didn't rise up with five horns, and then, you know, that one notable horn, Alexander the Great, he died. And then his four generals took the kingdom and divided it amongst themselves. So four horns rose up in its place when that one notable horn was broken off. So it's not a succession. When the horns appear, they are contemporaneous. One, and then four. And also we see that in the Revelation, that the horns are contemporaneous. They're not a succession. It's not one horn after another. That if there's a change, then horns will be removed, as in the one notable horn being removed and four coming up in its place. We see that the little horn breaks off three and supplants them at one point in Revelation. So they're contemporaneous until they are removed or broken off. Okay? But so that's what I have to believe about the horns. And so we see this new power rising up in the earth. It's not a part of any other beast before it. Didn't come out of any other beast before it. But it's the new original power in Revelation 17. It rises up with two horns. And we see, you know, a schizophrenic America. That's what I see. You know, there's an evil influence there, and that evil influence was there at the establishment of the United States of America as we know it today, with its seat of government in Washington, D.C. Okay? And I don't know if someone's talking to me in chat room, which it obviously doesn't, it says, but I don't know what that means, because I can't read that and do a broadcast at the same time. So if you want to talk to me, I guess you're going to have to call in. And they're having a discussion there in the chat room. But I say the beast that rose up, the second beast, would be the establishment of the government that has operated since the day it rose up, and that was the government established at the District of Columbia under the Constitution. That's what I believe. And it was established, I think, that the Constitution was introduced by the Jesuits to concentrate the power in Washington, D.C., where they could control that beast for themselves. But those who were before them, well, they attached to that the Bill of Rights. So you see a conflict there of a sort, one retaining the rights to the people and those rights that we still stand on today. We're broadcasting on First Amendment Radio today. Freedom of speech, press, thought, and religion. Of course, and freedom of assembly too. And we assemble here through all those things. So we see kind of a schizophrenic, a dual personality in this beast when it rises up. Half lamb-like and half dragon-like. So you see this conflict continually going on. That's what I see. And I'm just calling it like I see it. And as far as the heads, I've been trying to understand these heads, and I noticed that all of the beasts, when they rise up, have one head, except for this last beast. Well, I mean, except for even the earth beast, except for the Roman beast, you know, that rises up, and it has seven heads. What do these represent? And that's a little harder to figure out, because we only have the one beast. All of the other beasts, except for this one, has one head. And this beast has seven heads, but it plainly says that the seven heads are the seven hills on which the woman sitteth. So, some people say there's seven continents, so I think we can only speculate about that. But they're not successive, they don't seem to be other beasts, because, you know, but they seem to be more an identifying feature of this fourth beast that rises up with the seven heads. And so I really can't speculate a whole lot onto that. And I'm looking for other clues in the scripture itself, but like I said, I'm not willing to go beyond, you know, to speculate on something and say that I know what it is. So all I can tell you is what I know, that the scripture explicitly states, what it demonstrates about these beast powers. And that goes to the Revelation 17 riddle, and I talk about that in my seventh chapter in my book here. We talk about the seven kings, and we talk about the earth beast together, because I believe that those two prophecies reveal something and kind of fit together like a couple of puzzle pieces. The seven kings are the seven beasts represented in the scripture explicitly in chapter 17, verses 9 and 10, the riddle of the seven kings. There are seven kings, and the next verse identifies those kings as beasts, so we know what we're talking about. And of course, the last beast, the one which was not contemporary with John, which would rise up in the future, the only beast, additional beast in the entire book of Revelation, is the chapter 13 earth beast. So it has to be the seventh. And it obviously, like all of the other beasts, would be an original power in the earth when it rises up, having no part in the beast before it. But it says it only continues a short space. So it's a short-lived beast. And that would be America compared to the beast before it. I believe, yeah, because all of the other beasts before it existed for hundreds of years. And the governments, the place where they were founded, are still existing today, as in Greece and, Medo-Persia. Well, the peoples in those areas still exist today, and it's an earth beast, so it didn't rise up where the sea beast rose up. It rose up in a different place. And I go through all of that, and I've already gone through all of that in a previous broadcast. So all I can say is, get the book, read chapter 7, okay? And then you'll understand. Also, you can look for that article on my website. See, the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which deceived them that received the mark of the beast and them that worshiped the beast. I believe the false prophet and the man of sin are the same. And I'll tell you how I come to this conclusion. I come to this conclusion from reading the scripture itself. Because who was the great prophet? Okay? Who was the great prophet that Israel was waiting for? Yeah, the Messiah. He was that great prophet. He was the messenger of the covenant. The Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant. They were waiting for this great prophet who would show up. They called him the Messiah because he would save his people. And so, who else would be the great false prophet of Scripture, but the Antichrist himself, the man of sin, the man who sits in this. I believe that the papacy is the false prophet, that they are one and the same. I can come to no other conclusion by reading the Scripture. Now, I could speculate a lot of other things, and that's all people are doing, is they're speculating a lot of other things. But I want to know, okay, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ, explicitly stated in the Revelation. And then what do we have? We have Jesus, the great prophet, giving us prophecy. The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. He is the great prophet. His testimony is the spirit of prophecy. So what would the spirit of an Antichrist be? He would be the great false prophet. He would be the spirit of false prophecy. Seems like almost a logical deduction. And we're not given any instruction. We're not beyond deducing from the phrase false prophet and its anti or opposite counterpart would be Christ himself, the true prophet. Right? And the ultimate true prophet. So the ultimate false prophet would be today. Is he not the ultimate false prophet today? Pope Francis, Jorge Bergoglio, is he not a false prophet, if not the false prophet? Don't you know? What do you think? Yeah. Anyway, it's too hard to debate with someone in the chat room while I'm here live on the air. So that's why you have to call in. Yeah. Anyway. But that's what I believe. I believe the false prophet is the Antichrist, is the seat of the papacy, and would be Bergoglio today, because he would be the anti of the true prophet, which of course is Jesus, you know, because he speaks. The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ, and the testimony of Jesus Christ is that which comes out of his mouth. So he is the true prophet, and the Antichrist is the false prophet. That's what I believe until I can get something more explicit and expressed from the Scripture itself. I have to go with that. And I don't think it's really all that important of a deal. I mean, there are many false prophets out there, but most of the false prophecy has its root in the papacy. You know, it's like futurism has its root in the Jesuit Ribera's Future Antichrist, which was developed to take the onus off of the papacy being exposed by the reformers and those pre-Reformation followers of God's word as the papacy. Yeah, that's what it is, the Antichrist. So Christ would be the true prophet. Yeah. Yes, and George Lied. I don't know who George Lied is, but he's trying to make some kind of point there in the chat room. Anyway, I should probably stop looking at the chat room and make people call in. There's a lot of false prophets out there. Anyway, we've only got a few minutes left, so I'm going to ask you to go to my website, crosstheborder.org. If you're in the chat room, you haven't read my book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled Yet, shame on you. And if you haven't left a, if you've read it, and you haven't left a review on Amazon, well, I'm going to ask you to do that finally, and then get my next book, which I just published here last month, When the Third Temple is Built. And Open Mind says, isn't Revelation future history revealed? Well, it's the part that hasn't happened yet. It is. But for the most part, we've been here, you know, the Revelation was written 2,000 years ago, so most of the Revelation is already fulfilled in history. That's true. That's the historicist method, the method of interpretation demonstrated in the Scripture itself. And that's what I'm after. And that's what I want to use. God, let God be His own interpreter. Stop running with the wiles of the futurists' fantasy, where they speculate and put everything off into the future, entirely ignoring the last 2,000 years of history as if it wasn't important, as if those hundreds of millions of martyrs that died, God didn't notice that. Nope. But there are a lot of martyrs that we should take notice of, and there's a great history there. So get that book, The Last Prophecy, the abridgment of E.B. Eliot's Hori Apocalypticae. Get it and read it and understand history. And while you're at it, get the Key to the Apocalypse. Like I said, all of these resources are free for you. You can read it free or you can purchase them in paperback. Okay, well, that's all we have time for today. I want to thank each one and every one of you for showing up, and may the Almighty bless you as you continue to walk in His kingdom.